In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If I seem mildly confused from time to time, know that I have new hearing aids and they hear things my old hearing aids never heard. So, and as I'm here for the first time, I'm hearing things I've never heard before. The organ makes a lot more noise than I thought, other than the musical notes. Here we are, this is the not the organist. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and I'm so glad you all made it through this time of preparation. So here we are, and we know that this is a season of preparation, so I would say to you, are you ready? Yes, okay. Now, some people are going, are you ready for the concept of the Advent season? I'm not asking if you got your meal plan done. And if you don't, if you got your gifts wrapped and bought and all the rest of it, honestly, as far as that's concerned, I have little to no interest. What I'm asking you, are you hearing the fact that as this season of Advent has been a time of preparation for us to receive our Lord and Savior, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, are we ready for that? Yes, okay, good, because I don't know if you heard the words of the collect. That's the prayer I say while I'm standing here in front of the altar. It says, purify our conscience, Almighty God. And well, that sounds like a good plan. Probably not enough time in this four or five lines. By your daily visitation that your Son, Jesus Christ, is coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself. That's what Advent is about. It's about this coming of Christ. We will remember that he came, right? God incarnate as a small child, as a babe, on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. Yeah, we will be here Christmas morning if you want to carry on the celebration and the joy. The next thing that we have to ask ourselves, are we really ready? Have we been paying close attention to what it is to receive Jesus? And as we hear from our collect, not talking about making a space for Jesus in our lives, but so that he will find within us a mansion where he would dwell. Now, I'm getting bigger every year, I've noticed. So that mansion hopefully is expanding at the same rate as which this body does. But the question is, how much of Jesus are you allowing into your life? The concept of Advent is to prep not just as a remembrance that Christ came as a child, God incarnate, but that he will come again. And this has been a time of preparing ourselves for that, and I hope you have been doing just that. Interestingly enough, with the good news and the bells, we still use bells when something important is going to happen. When we're introducing the very body and blood of Jesus, we will ring the bells. And they were done for that very reason, so people would pay attention. I drug them back out of the sacristy this morning if you're on Altar Guild and wondering how they got here. Seemed appropriate. But the fact of the matter is we still do that, but there's also something else that used to happen so we would understand what's coming next that doesn't happen as much anymore in our lives. And that's what we see in Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. This portion of our reading this morning is known as the salutation. It is all about Paul greeting those who he's writing the letter to. And as I looked at that, I realized it might be a bit of a lost art in our society today. I will exchange emails with people and not even mention their name. They'll send me an email and I'll send a line back in response to it. I don't even say, hey, dear Bill. That's just like, yeah, dot, 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 and off it goes. Text messages, I find, especially with my children, if you put somebody's name in there, like, who do you think is reading this? The salutations just aren't something that we do, but they tell us something. I didn't really realize that so much until several years back now. When I was traveling to Africa and back a couple times, in preparation so that we would be culturally correct, we had to come up with our salutation. So I was in seminary back then, so it went kind of like this. We would arrive on site, there would be people there to greet us, and we'd all stand up and introduce ourselves, and I would stand up and say, my name is Brian O'Carroll. I come to you from the Diocese of Southwest Florida. I bring greetings from my bishop, Dabney Smith. I'm a student at Neshota House Seminary in Wisconsin. I am being trained for the priesthood, and from there I bring greetings of our dean, whose name still escapes me. But
Monday,
Dean Monday. He and I got along so well. The he forgot my name too. And you'd go through this routine, and everybody did that. So everyone who was in the room there to greet us now knew something about each of us and where we came from. Paul is doing a very similar thing in his letter, except he's not just introducing himself. He's introducing, just like I would have in that situation, those whom I am directly serving. And the one he is directly serving is Jesus Christ. So we listen to what he says. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind that translation servant is for us. If we went back to the Greek, the more common translation would have been slave. Of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. That's who he is. Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul is now saying this is where this information comes from. This person, Jesus, that I'm telling you about, that I serve, is the Messiah. And we know that because he's referring back to how he was introduced through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be son of God with power according to the Spirit. Sounds like his baptism, correct? Jesus' baptism. Of holiness by resurrection from the dead. They would have heard of this by now. Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul is saying, I'm Paul. I'm a follower of Jesus, and this is who Jesus is. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name. Well, we're learning more and more about Paul, aren't we? This is who he is, this is who he serves, and this is why. And then he says something interesting. Verse 6. Including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That means more than I suspect by the looks on your face than you're grasping from me at the moment. Maybe it only means it to me. Now let's go back to verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, but down to 6, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We often talk about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul is describing it a little differently, isn't he? It isn't my buddy Jesus. It is my master Jesus. Paul is saying, this is my master whom I serve. And then he says, and to you. And he's writing to the church, so he could just as well be writing to us. To you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That's a little different than a friend, isn't it? That's a little more commitment than maybe some of us are ready to make in certain relationships, but of course not in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So in this time of Advent, what we should be asking ourselves is this. Are you ready to belong to Jesus Christ? Are you ready to belong? Not just kind of check him out, see if you get along. You won't, by the way. Am I ready to belong? Am I ready to say that Jesus is Lord of my life? The master whom I serve. See, Advent is about preparing to remember the Christ child but to grow into a place so that we will be prepared for when he comes again, will we belong. We often maybe don't take that as seriously as I believe Paul is trying to present it. He's telling us our call. Including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And when we back that up and we hear the one who belongs to Jesus Christ, Paul, speak of what that means, he is pretty clear. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all Gentiles for the sake of his name. So often I have conversations with people and they are trying to discern God's call on their life. Anybody tried to do that? Well, let me simplify it for you. This is it. The call on your life is to belong to Jesus Christ and share the good news of the gospel so that all may come to know him and be obedient to the faith by his grace and for his glory. That's the call. Amen? That's the call he gives all of us. That is the call that Paul has. And the big question that we really are struggling with isn't what's our call? The big struggle is, how do I do it? And in what way should I do that? Paul was a missionary. His message is salvation through Jesus Christ, reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ, just as it has been since the garden. Ever since humanity was put out of the garden by their choices and their sinful action, God has been reaching out and trying to find ways to bring us back to him, to be reconciled to him with our will intact. That's why he doesn't just magic wand us all into the kingdom. He wants us to choose it. Because when you choose things, when you work toward things, when you sacrifice for them, they tend to be held differently. You know what I mean? I remember my first car very fondly. Do you know why? I paid for it. It was a piece of junk. It was three different colors. I had to give the guy $245 for it instead of $250 because it had no gas in it. And if I gave him the $250, I couldn't take it home. But it was my car. I paid for it. Eventually, I insured it, but that was a different story. But but it meant something more, didn't it? Things mean more when we put ourselves into it, when we sacrifice for it, when it changes us and who we are, when it moves us to a new place in our lives. That is the way in which God's calling us to this obedience and faith. He wants us to move to him. He wants us to be changed by him. He wants us to gain something more in this relationship. He doesn't just come and demand. He comes and he invites, but he, in the midst of his invitation, says, but I have to be everything for you if it's going to be the relationship that I want with you. It's somewhat demanding, but I can tell you from personal experience, when I am managing to be obedient to the faith, it's a very lovely place to live. Not what we'd expect in our society today, but I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's true. So we don't need to be so much worried about what the call is. That's very clear. But we should definitely be considering, how is God calling us to do this work? It's not the call itself, it's the method. So in every single thing we do, the number one part of it is Jesus Christ is Lord. the first simple statement of the church. Jesus Christ is Lord. And it doesn't matter what we do after that, as long as we do that first and in everything we do. So, Paul was a missionary. Made it very obvious. Jesus Christ is Lord. Made sure people came to know and hear the good news of the gospel. That was his call. It is ours also. He did that by gathering people together and planting churches. A missionary. I have been called to do the same work, but I've been given the role of a priest by God. This is his call specifically. This is the method that I am called to use to spread the same good news of the gospel, which actually seems a little odd because I'm always talking to the people who already know it. Amen? So there's a little twist to what I do. I'm sharing the good news of the gospel like this. As I'm saying, okay, now get out there and do it, which sounds pretty good from my position, because that means it's good and bad. If you're an introvert, it's good because you can just sort of hang back here at the home base and send everybody pumped up out there to do the work, and you can go, whew, I don't have to do that. The bad news is for somebody like me who initially understood his call as a missionary, it can be very difficult. Because you always feel like you're being left behind. So sometimes I just sneak out there with you. And maybe on occasion I might lead somebody out there, not sure yet. But the question we should be asking ourselves, how are each of you to do this work? And there's many ways. But the work never changes. We cannot get caught up in the work itself. How we move, the task is not what matters. The message is what matters. Always the message. It is good to do nice things, but sometimes without the gospel message, nice things are just nice things. We are the church, brothers and sisters. The church. That grew out of the church in which Paul is writing right now. These people received this message from him in Rome. That may sound familiar to you. There was a little denomination that started over in that area that we broke away from a few years back. You probably heard the story. He's writing to us, to the whole church. It doesn't matter denominations. Those are things for us, not for God. And he's saying, this is who I am, this is who I serve, this is what we do. Amen? So as we come to the end of this Advent season and in great expectation of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would say, brothers and sisters, take some time. Look at what it is you're doing and then figure out why you're doing it. And if it is including the carrying of the good news of the gospel, and I mean be intentional about it, not just hoping someone guesses you're a Christian, but actually share the good news that others may come to know Christ, and then do whatever it is after that to the glory of God. Amen.